Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's Tuesday at 2 o'clock, and that means we speak with the speaker. Maybe that could be the name of the segment. Welcome back to the program, North Carolina Speaker of the House, Tim Moore. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Pete. I hope you're well today.
I am. I couldn't help but notice the photo from this weekend. You know how you can tell that Representative Sane is a former radio guy is the shirts that he wears to racing events. What?
You know, he definitely has a face for radio.
We've talked about it. I saw the picture. What were you at the Roval race, right?
We did. There was a group of folks that went over to the Roval. Great race. It was really exciting to see that. It was I noticed several of my, and I don't know why, but several of my female colleagues were more interested in meeting James Bond than than watching the race. That's what they kept asking me. You got any pull speaker? Can you get us in with James Bond? And unfortunately, 003 couldn't get them connected with 007.
So whoa, whoa,
short right. on it this time.
Wait a minute. 003, that's you?
That's what they said the other day, I guess, because number three. So there you go, right? So that's it.
Wait a minute. Why are you, where does the 03 come from? How do you get that number?
It's a secret, I'd tell you, but then you'd be in trouble.
I did say earlier in the program that I do not engage in espionage, so I probably shouldn't even be asking these questions. So, all right, so where are we? Because I know a lot of times elected officials love negotiating through the media. So where are we on the budget negotiations with the governor and the Senate?
So we received an offer back from the governor with and there was a lot in it, and so we took that and we've talked with our folks and our caucus and our conferees and to get a response where the House is, and so we're close to having something, and then we have to go back with the Senate. They've done the same, and see if we can all come up with a response to send over to the governor. Hopefully here very soon to move this along. But I'll tell you, it's really a good budget that was passed by the Senate and passed by the House. The one passed by the House is a little better than the one in the Senate, but hey, you know, I think the combination as we make the sausage is going to be great because it does so many things, Pete. It's going to lower taxes. We've also put in there restrictions on a lot of these mandates and things the governor has sought to do. Put that in there. We've controlled spending, but at the same time, we've taken a lot of those funds that are coming in that we can use and putting them to things that are needed, like using one-time money for one-time spending things like, you know, fixing roads, bridges, infrastructure, broadband, et cetera. So really a lot of shared priorities, but the governor's got some entitlement programs he wants to talk about. He's not as keen on lowering taxes, and there's some different things he wants to spend money on. So, you know, we just got to work those things out. But I am optimistic that we will get to a budget because there's just too much. This is a unique opportunity to do so many good things for the state. And I think particularly if you contrast it with just the absolute goat rodeo of what's happening in Washington right now, where, you know, these guys just can't seem to control their spending. They want to tax everybody. They want to punish folks. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. So what I can tell folks is we're going to do a whole lot better job than the federal government, which I guess that's kind of setting the bar pretty low, but we're going to do a much better job than that. And I think folks will be very pleased with where we are and where we go with the funding. So, but right now, the SAS negotiations, you're just having a lot of candid conversations to try to work through what can be some pretty sticky issues. And mm-hmm. so we actually are not doing those in the media because it just makes it difficult, but we are having some very good one-on-one and face-to-face conversations about these matters.
Right. And I understand the limitations. I get that. I'm not going to, you know, it's not worth a scoop or a story if it blows up your negotiations. I'm fine with that. But I think we've talked about this before. There are policies that are in the House and Senate version that the governor's not keen on. And so is the bet there, and I guess maybe this is the political side of it, is the bet that the governor needs a win on a budget before he's out of office, if he ever intends to run for something else? Like, he's got to get something with his name on it, and this might be the last chance to do so?
You know, I think if I were the governor, I would certainly be looking at it that way. You know, we passed The last full budget that we passed that over the objections of the governor. That was that lowered taxes, that spent money in the right areas, it did a lot of great things, reduced regulations. We overrode the governor's veto. Then you look at the last session where we did not have the supermajority to be able to override his veto. Basically, what we passed was a continuing resolution that essentially kept in place the Republican budget of the previous session during that second part, during the, the second half of his first term. So now we're in, he's in his, the first half of his second term now. And we would like to come up with something that, that he would sign that we can all agree on. But if not, we actually feel like we, I can tell you this, in the House, we have the votes to override a veto if it happens. The Senate, I think, is a little closer call, but I think ultimately they do. But let's say that we didn't. Let's say that the governor vetoed a budget. We couldn't override. We ended up having to basically adopt another continuing resolution to take us into the next cycle. Well, the next budget cycle, just about anybody who follows politics would agree, you're probably going to have, just because of it being midterm elections, the party in power, and frankly, just how far to the left Joe Biden has gone. It should be a strong election year for Republicans, and I firmly believe that you'll see supermajorities in the House and the Senate, and so you could have yet another situation where Governor Cooper is confronted with the facts that he had when he first came to the governor's mansion, where he's dealing with a supermajority Republican legislature that will be able to override his veto, and thereby him having zero influence over 8 years in the budget of the state. I don't think he wants that. I want to see us get something done, and I think in the end that'll be the key to seeing that we get a budget enacted.
So, and real quick, I think we touched on this a little bit last week as well. The big energy plan, right? This got this was the second iteration of the energy plan, I believe.
It was so. What this was, we passed a bill in the House for the energy bill. It went to the Senate. It was changed, and of course, they consulted with us as they were working through it with the Senate and the stakeholders. And we agreed to those changes, and then it came back to the House, and we concurred. And so what you had is you had a really good process where you have a bill, and you go through the committee process, you go through the stakeholder process, you get public input. In the end, you have a bill that passed overwhelming. I think it passed like 90 to 20 in the House. So very strong votes on both sides of the aisle. It was just very solid. Of course, the governor's indicated he's going to sign the bill as well. I think it passed like 47 to 2 or maybe 42 to 7, actually, in the Senate, but just overwhelming overwhelming votes, and that shows that that's a pretty good consensus bill. And you think about that. Think about the paralysis of Washington that can't get any bill passed hardly. And here in North Carolina, in a period of a few months, we've passed legislation that will ensure that, that we have safe, reliable, and affordable energy to everyone, which is key. And at the same time, that we do recognize that we owe a duty of responsibility to protect our natural resources. So there's balance in there. There's room for green energy. But at the same time, we're realistic in knowing that it needs to be an all-of-the-above energy policy that includes, for example, includes coal, includes fossil fuels, and also includes nuclear, as well as green energy.
All right. The Speaker of the North Carolina House, Tim Moore, a.k.a. 003. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks. All right. Great to be with you.
All right, you too.